Oh, he's back.
He's back. I'm
he's
here.
Only gone and come back.
I've only somehow returned. I'm here, mate.
Somehow, Bly Walker has returned.
Roll it again.
Hello there.
So
listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
The Star Wars Sessions podcast.
Part of the team loves a good Star Wars session.
Absolute legends of Star Wars Sessions.
This is the way. This is the way.
Please welcome your hosts, Matt Hudson and Luke Bly.
This is where the fun begins.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions. Come for the Star Wars, stay for the sessions. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Hutt, and joining me as ever once again in the cockpit here of the Essex Falcon and the Bacta Tank, he's the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. He's got great hair, he loves a curry, he loves a pint. It's Master Blywalker, Luke Bly, give it back up for him again.
Oi, oi. Savaloy, Matty boy, you have no idea how good it is to be back here on the sessions, man. It's been a crazy couple weeks, mate. And I just want to thank you, Sean and Dave, for obviously filling in last week and just yourself the week before. But man, is it good to be back to shoot some galactic breeze.
Well, my friend, to honour your return, I was having a little look through the annals, through the sessions annals, and I found a little something, and we're 139 episodes in now. I've earned myself 2.5 minutes, so I found this, mate. Check this out.
Oi, oi, Savaloy. Filth. Absolute spice mine. Their castle spicier. Big boy.
Hey, Luke. It's Admiral Jackbar.
It's Commander Laura Meluron.
We hope you get better, buddy.
We're thinking about you, and
may the Force be with you.
There you go.
Master Blywalker. It's Adrian here, a.k.a. the Mandalorian. Just passing on my best wishes. Sorry to hear of what you're going through, buddy. Just remember that hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. May the Force be with you, mate.
Hello, Master Blywalker. Johnny O here. Just sending you a quick message to let you know that we are all behind you. Sending Grogu and Rey Force healing vibes. The Sessionists will be with you, always.
Hi, Luke. Vadim here, Dimsky. I hope you're getting better, bro. I hope soon enough you'll be so good. But everybody's thinking about you. Everybody loves you very much. Yeah, just wish you all the well, brother. Take care.
Master Blywalker, Jessup here. I just wanted to send you a message just to wish you a speedy recovery. We miss you, we love you, and can't wait to hear you back to full fighting health and fitness back on the sessions. Take care of yourself, and we will hear and see you soon.
Hey, this is Jimmy from Kansas. Just wishing you a speedy recovery, Lukey boy. We need the conductor of the spice train back as soon as possible. Hope you're feeling better, mate.
Hello, mate. Big Hud here. Just to get well soon message from Sean. Chin up, pal. Promise you it does get easier, and always here for a chat. I can certainly respect what you're going through, so give us a shout anytime, pal, and we'll go for a non-spicy curry execution.
Soon we will have a refreshed Blywalker, one far stronger and more powerful. Sorry about that. Seemed to go all a bit Matt Smith there. Anyway, Luke, hope you're feeling a lot better, mate. Looking forward to hearing you on the sessions again soon.
Hey there, Luke. Andreas here, the Beard of Oregon. I'm really bummed out to hear about your recent stint at the hospital. I'm having to deal with Crohn's. I hope you know how loved you are by our whole community and how much we care about you and your family right now. My thoughts are with you all. People always say, if there's anything that I can do, please let me know. But many of us really do mean that, so miss hearing your voice, so get better soon. We're there for you, buddy. Hang in there. Don't choke on the bathtub. Bye.
Master Blydog. Jones from Discord here, man. Sorry about my voice. I got tonsillitis. It sounds more like tuberculosis at the moment. Listen, I've heard you've had a rough couple of weeks, man. So, you know, rest up, take care. You got your missus there. She could do everything you need to do, you know. You're sorted. You're sorted. But listen, we need you back on the show. Matt needs you back. You know, we all love you. We're all missing you. So, rest up, get better, come back with a bang. Love you, man. Mwah.
Get well soon, mate.
Hey, Luke, it's Katie here. I've seen what's been going on with you, and I'm really, really sorry to hear that you're going through that, buddy. But this is just a quick message to say hope you get better soon, and that we're all thinking about you. But yeah, get better soon, mate.
Master Blywalker, you're not very well. What are we going to do?
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to reach out. We're going to reach out with our tiny little Grogu hands and heal you through the Force. Get well soon, you filthy spice peddler.
Glad to have you back on the Falcon, Master Blywalker.
Oh, a couple of people my thought of you, mate. Days. My boy, you absolute filth bag.
Yeah, well, you've got the session sickest to thank, and my big brother Sean for sorting all that out. I was just the conduit for it all, and honestly, that was a product of the fans, and not your co-host. So, thank everyone else, my friend.
Wow, what a flaming intro! It's a weird one, you know, because you're like, oh, well, that you feel so loved and so appreciative and so grateful for it. But it's like, man, you guys are the best. Yeah, thank you so much for all the love, guys. You know, I'm getting there. I'm getting better. I'm on, just a heads up, I am on a lot of meds. I did say to Matty Boy, I was like, look, I am like, you know, I can't flipping wait to get back on the old microphone, talk some Star Wars, but I am on some meds. So if my sentences aren't clear, which they aren't usually, but yeah, just a little heads up, you know, we're here for it. I'm feeling a bit based. So should be fun,
around,
though.
He's rolling around the floor while speaking at the minute. He's just stroking the wall. I'm so loved.
I am, honestly. Thank you so much, everyone. That's so sweet. That is the best. Like, you guys are so cool. Thank you for, yeah. We're not great at this kind of thing, us Brits, but, you know, thank you so much for the support and love. It means the world.
There you go. Sending all the best wishes through the Force from the best fan base in the world. And yes, I'm very glad to have my man back. But that isn't the only bit of news for this week, because as I've been plagued for the last few weeks, I'm trying to talk, and in the background I can hear the chimes of Big Ben Kenobi. Which, my friends, we only meet know means one thing, says me who can't talk, Master Blywalker.
Matty boy, it must mean, and this feels so good to say, it's the Galactic News Round. An original Star Wars script has sold for £13,000 as part of an auction of items owned by David Prowse.
Dark Horse Comics is heading back to a galaxy far, far away. New all-ages comics and graphic novels will debut from the storied publisher in the spring of 2022.
EA reportedly turned down a Star Wars Battlefront 3 pitch because of licensing costs.
The working title for The Acolyte has been revealed by Production Weekly to be Paradox.
The Book of Boba Fett will be featured on the front cover of the November 2021 edition of Empire magazine.
Hi, this is Dominic Pace, who played Gecko the Bounty Hunter for The Mandalorian, and you are listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Now, tell us about the time that George asked you to take over. Were you expecting it, and did you say yes right away?
I wasn't expecting George to ask me anything like this. But I will say when he did bring it up, and he talked about his own retirement and looking for somebody to come in and really be responsible not only for the company, but taking this into the future and protecting his legacy. And when he started to talk about it in that way, I immediately said yes. I just thought it would be an incredible experience and an amazing opportunity.
I always said I wasn't going to do any more. That's true, so I'm not going to do any more. But that doesn't mean I'm unwilling to turn it over to Kathy to do more. I'm doing this so that the films will have a longer life and so that more fans and people can enjoy them in the future. It's a very big universe I've created, and there's a lot of stories that are sitting in there.
The main thing is to protect these characters, make sure that they still continue to live in the way that you created them, and that the universe of Star Wars continues to grow. You know, I have a tremendous amount to learn from George. There's things that that I want to preserve within the spirit of this company. And as it moves into Disney, I think it's vitally important to anything we create that we hold on to the spirit of what started all of this.
Now, to mark the return of Master Blywalker to the sessions, we thought we'd pick something fairly low-key and something which we knew would unite the Star Wars fan base. So this week we're talking about Kathleen Kennedy, Lucasfilm president. Kathleen Kennedy has been in the news this week. A few things have cropped up regarding the press, so we're going to be having a Kathy-centric episode. So I'm very much looking forward to this. Now, before we dive into the news articles that have come out, two very big ones, I think, one especially, and the other one only released pretty much today, so we're excited to talk about that. I have no idea what Blilo thinks, but in terms of Kathleen Kennedy, and I am going to throw this right back to Luke in a minute, I don't subscribe to, you know, lovers, haters, fan bases and all that. I just think Kathleen Kennedy's done a good job when it comes to what she's there for, which is to put out content which makes money for Disney, and content which expands the lore of Star Wars and allows for future projects to bloom from it, which is exactly what she's done. Are there caveats and asterisks to my appreciation? Yes, and I'll get into that. But I just wanted to start off by saying my initial thoughts on Kathleen Kennedy are generally positive, and I think fans of the show from episode one way back when will know that. You know, I'm not a sycophant. I understand that, you know, nobody's perfect, but I'm also not daft as well. So, so for me, my initial thoughts before we dive into the news we've got is that I'm pleased, if you ask me, with the job Kathleen Kennedy's done. I think she's done a good job steering the ship. Lukey boy, what about you? Do you think, what's your kind of thoughts on the tenure of Kathleen Kennedy up until this date?
Well, it's really, like you said, it's thrown me in the deep end, mate. We were like, oh, should we do a chill show? should we do a deep dive in something we love? We're like, no, we're gonna get all political. I'm not brave enough politics, but you know, apparently this week I am. Yeah, mate, I think for the most part, I think Kathleen Kennedy has had a tremendous success at Lucasfilm. And I can't wait to get stuck into this conversation, because I think there's a lot of factors and a lot of factoids and a lot of perspectives that are maybe missed in this conversation. Because, you know, the fact is that Star Wars hasn't been silky smooth. There's a strong argument here that things should have ran a lot more smoothly in this era, particularly with those sequel films, the cinematic releases. It's almost every film has had an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Last Jedi didn't. The Force Awakens did. Rogue One did. Last Jedi didn't. Solo did. Rise of Skywalker did. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff to be taken away from that too. Now, there's also an argument for saying, well, you can't just look at that and go, wow, she's rubbish. Like, this is a joke. You guys spoke about Rogue Squadron last week. I listened to the show. By the way, you guys killed it. Thank you so much for the stand-in. Dave Dunn, Sean Hudson, you sick heads. But it's an interesting time. At the end of the day, you know, under Kathleen Kennedy over the last few years, we've had the biggest film in the West, in Western cinema, in The Force Awakens, in the US, in the UK, in the Anglosphere. That is the biggest film of all time. We've had arguably one of the biggest shows in pop culture ever air and debut and stick around for a second season and do just as well. And again, maybe even better from a certain point of view, depending on who you ask. And we've had numerous other wins, like huge successes. So it isn't a straightforward conversation. And then we also have to look into, well, okay, what does a president do? And what does a good president do? Versus, you know, oh, let's make whoever president, like, who are you going to replace her with? Those are the questions that we should probably be asking. And then she's got some other news that we're going to go into, which kind of, like, you know, ties everything up really nicely, I think. So I'm looking forward to it, mate boy. What do you think of all this, mate?
Three more years.
You're happy about it?
Well, I am, because again, right, asterisks and caveats. Kathleen Kennedy has delivered an awful lot for Star Wars. Again, if you look top level, you think, oh, look at all those films, they've done well. Obviously, you then start to look beneath the surface of that, and there's been issues for pretty much all of them. But the stakeholders and investors will think, well, you are making us money, and, oh, look, a director's been fired. Okay, we might have to pay him off a bit. However, when we're making $1 billion-plus pretty much on every film almost, then, you know, that's fine. We'll swallow up in that. Our pockets will still be lined. I think it's good news. I think we need a form of stability because we've just come out of a global pandemic. Bob Chapek's just taken over, and obviously whatever people might think about Chapek's leadership is a good story for another time. But I think with everything that's been going on recently with Rogue Squadron and whatever else has happened, we've seen that Rangers of the New Republic's gone for now, although word on the grapevine is they are still working on it in the background to hopefully start it back up again. To then say to Kathleen Kennedy, oh, actually, we're not going to renew your contract, I think it had just thrown Lucasfilm into absolute limbo. So what this does this is sadly hypothetical, because there are also plenty of evidence in the last, 7 years, 8, 9 years, sorry, that this could not go smoothly. The next 3 years, in my head, will be nice and smooth, so we can have a transition, we can pass the saber over to whomever will be the new incumbent, and they will take over a company which is on, you know, much steadier ground, much smoother ground. However, as we've mentioned, there's been a lot of issues in the last 9 years or so, which kind of point to the fact that, you know, what's going to change now? Why are the next 3 years going to be different when, you know, the last nine, give or take, three times as long, haven't quite been that? Maybe not all of them. Maybe 5 or 6 years have been very rocky. And the majority of stories that come out surrounding the films aren't great. So I think it's good that she's staying because she's delivering. And I think it's good for the stability. However, it's one of the main things I have with Kathleen is everybody always says, and I've brought this up earlier on for a reason, I've said, look, she's delivering, she's lying in the pockets of the stakeholders, and she's expanding the universe. But at what point now do we have to start ignoring the money side of things? So Kathleen Kennedy's been in the job for almost a decade now. She's bought in a lot of money, but like you've just said, big boy, it's come at a cost, that's literally a cost of firing directors and paying them off. But every production other than The Last Jedi, for what we know, has been plagued by directorial firings, creative issues, scheduling problems was the latest one. At what point now do we look at it and think, right, this is just not very good. You're making a lot of money, but at the same time, Lucasfilm is a bit of a joke.
And it's funny because a producer, of which she is one of the greatest of all time, if not the best, a producer's job is to do everything I've just said. A producer basically has to keep the ship steady. The director does their job. Right. You know, they're the eyes on the ground. A producer does everything else. They coordinate everything. They organise everything, including calendars. So Kathleen Kennedy is well equipped to juggle the plates and project manage the hell out of this thing. But something seems to have gotten away from Lucasfilm. And again, we've got Michelle Rejwan, so let's throw you under the bus whilst we're at it. But there's two sides of it for me. Is I welcome the stability because there have been great rewards with that in this tenure. But at the same time, what is going to change, and at what point do we start saying, Lukey boy, yes, he's made a lot of money. However, planning, diligence, diary management, which not all of it rests on her shoulders, but she signs off on it. At what point do we start having to say, actually, no, that is now the overriding issue here?
Yeah, it's a really hard one. Without all the inside information, we really just need to take this at face value. And you're right, the cinema has been, the cinematic year, like Star Wars films in recent years, it's been crazy. And I feel like we're fortunate that Rogue One turned out the way it did, right? Because people adore that film, and it is like a masterpiece in Star Wars. And beyond that, for so many people, they adore that film. Same with The Force Awakens, same with The Last Jedi. Solo and Rise of Skywalker is more split. The Last Jedi is very split. There's an irony there that it was like the most smooth sailing Star Wars film. You know, didn't they have like the most time to edit that film as well? Like The Last Jedi?
Basically, Ryan was able to write a treatment whilst JJ was creating The Force Awakens. So Ryan had a hell of a lead time. And of course, in an ideal world, they would have worked together and traded notes a bit more. But he had longer to write his story and to flesh it out, which then in turn let Ram Bergman, the producer, go out and scout and do everything they needed to do. So, yeah, he had much more time.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And you can kind of, whether you love or hate The Last Jedi, you can kind of tell, even with like the amount of bonus content we get with The Last Jedi compared to the other Disney-era films, it's huge. It is massive. We get so much content with The Last Jedi. Now, where it gets blurry is the success of The Mandalorian.
Yes, sir.
And that, it's not just a success, Matt. Like, this thing, to come out with the first ever live-action Star Wars TV show, knock it out the park, create one of the most iconic figures in pop culture ever, to create a compelling story, something that is iconic, something that is keeping the franchise to this day very relevant, really, really relevant. Mm-hmm. Your average person down the street knows a lot of the characters in The Mandalorian. They recognize it. It's absurd. It's crazy. So to balance all of this, well, let's have a look. Let's have a think. Matty boy, in short, I'm glad Kathy's staying around for another 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Do I think she is perfect for the job? Well, I'm not really a believer in someone who's perfect for the job. You know, we live in England, Matty boy, where our national sports league is the Premier League, the English Premier League in football. And in the Premier League, especially over the last few years, there's a lot of coming and goings with the managers, right? Yes. The people that manage the team. Even as we've recorded today or this week, Manchester United have sacked their manager. Bye. And I was joking around with old Danny Boy Sexton, saying, oh, Ollie, he's going to be flying out to LA, mate, or San Francisco to come head up Lucasfilm, man. that's going to be his next job. Imagine that, flaming hell. I don't know, mate. It's a complicated one. I think, in short, mate, boy, you want to know my opinion?
I always want to know your opinion, mate.
I think it's more to do with Disney.
Yeah, go on.
I think it's more to do with Disney now. With hindsight, I think Disney lock in those deadlines, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give you a bit of an extension, but that's it. That's it. Bob Iger spoke about this with Solo. He knew it was a mistake. And he with hindsight, you know, he said, maybe we should have pushed it back. Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Come on, Iger, you idiot. You know anything?
And I don't want to go out and at anyone here, you know, because we're just speaking truth. We're just speaking what's happened. You know, we're documentarians in this. And, you know, I think someone like Kathleen Kennedy does bring the experience and does bring the knowledge of the industry to her role. It's worth noting, though, that Kathleen Kennedy wasn't a president of a film company before.
Nope.
Right? And that's where I kind of want to bring in another person, Mayboy. I hope you don't mind me mentioning.
No, go for it.
A lot of people don't seem to mention to know who this is or talk about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation here, but excellent. I've got Micheline Chow,
mm-hmm,
or Cho. Micheline Chau.
Mm-hmm.
And Micheline, or yeah, I don't know what I'm doing with that name. How would you say it?
I would say the same, Micheline, rather than yeah, Micheline.
Yeah. I know, right? It's so close to Michelin. Well, Micheline was actually the president of Lucasfilm.
Yes,
from
sir.
April 2003 till September 2012. A lot of people don't know that. George Lucas was not the president of Lucasfilm. Kathleen Kennedy did not take over from George Lucas as president of Lucasfilm. George Lucas was a chairman who almost sat almost kind of where Disney are now.
Mm-hmm.
George was the big daddy. He did have control over everything, but he also was kind of a few steps down, creating stuff, right?
Yep.
He had that flexibility because being a president, being a chief operating officer, as Micheline was as well, George had no interest in that stuff. He didn't want to get involved in that stuff. Weren't interested.
Nope.
Nada. Now, from 2003 and to 2012, you know, a lot of stuff happened during that. So I wanted to add that too. A lot of people don't understand the role of presidency,
you know.
And no. I think that's where restructuring comes into it, Matty boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And well, carry on.
No, you're the returning hero, please. No. You go, and I want to see your point. I want to see your thought on what I've said so far, because I'm sure, again, we're on the same page, but I want to...
My thought was going in a little different direction, but it's still in the same ballpark area. When you said that, a lot of people don't know what the president of a company does, certainly a creative studio. When you see some of the names that the internet would have you believe should be in the role, it makes me want to just pass out. Namely, our boys, John Favreau and Dave Filoni, who also have absolutely no experience in running a film studio. John Favreau is a very good showrunner and a very good writer. Dave Filoni is a very good writer, animator, and up-and-coming director. None of that translates into, here, run the entire operation, everything, in everything. You be the person who's... the buck stops with you guys. That is a pipe dream, and that is the worst kind of idea to have. Whereas Kathleen Kennedy, she wasn't a president prior. She was a producer / exec producer for 30, 40 years, working with Spielberg, as everybody knows this, some of the biggest films of all time. Working in the industry, getting the knowledge, and a producer's job, it is a million miles away from a president, but when you break it down, what a president does is very similar to what a producer does day to day, except that a president has the weight of a multi-billion-dollar company on her shoulders and has to deal with shareholders, stakeholders, the board, everything else, basically. But as we mentioned, a producer, they're in charge of some of the hirings and firings, the organization, the day-to-day stuff, the budgets, and a lot more. Sounds a bit like a president on a slightly smaller scale, so... whereas John and Dave have absolutely no experience, and I think would be extremely detrimental to have them heading up. Would it be cool? Hey, why not? Because they've delivered some cool stuff. I love John and Dave. I do, but we've got to use our heads and realize that they would not be right. Whereas, like you just said, you had somebody in the background though, from 2003, at Micheline for 2003, 2012, who was silently in the background helping the operation tick along. George was the face and the heart and the soul of the company. But somebody else was making the, I don't say the big decisions, but there was somebody else there shouldering a lot of the admin work and a lot of the work, like I said, George didn't want to do. You mentioned restructuring. Maybe there's something they can do here where we have a George who could be somebody like your Favreau, who maybe could be the face, but isn't the one making the boardroom decisions, isn't the one with the check and the golden pen, my friend. But as soon as you said that, they didn't have it about the experience. I was like, no, I've got to mention that. And I love John and I love Dave and I'll mention them again. But this chalk and cheese to compare them to, you know, Kathleen's experience, quality, talent and skill level.
Yeah. And it's worth noting, right, that again, John Favreau, I see, could be the only one out of Dave Filoni and John to run to even consider spot, right?
Sure.
Because again, once again, like Kathy, she wasn't a president before becoming like Lucasfilm president. And John kind of has, if you look at her work before becoming Lucasfilm president, John is the closest thing to that out of those two. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily advocate that anyway, but it's just worth noting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think he'd be interested, is the honest opinion. Yeah. And the people saying Dave Filoni, now you don't necessarily want Dave doing a job like this. You want Dave in a new role, which guess what, May boy?
Go on.
They've done.
Mm-hmm.
They created a role for Dave Filoni. If you look, May boy, at the Lucasfilm leadership chart, right, on Lucasfilm.com, it's not random, it's not alphabetical. Kathleen Kennedy sits at the top, okay? And then a lady called Lynwen Brennan is second. That I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, that used to be like Michelle Rejwan.
That's right.
At one point, it could be the drugs. So I don't know.
Drugs don't work.
It could be whatever. But anyway, Lynwen, she's kind of the executive vice president and general manager. That to me, and I've worked in a lot of like stupid corporate environments in my time, and I know you have, Matty boy. So yeah. That to me screams that's your second in command, right? Mm-hmm. And then below, you've got two people, Mamita Sengupta and Dave Filoni. Mamita is Executive Vice President, Physical Production. Again, all to do with getting things done on time, literal things, getting things, you know, ordered around. You know all about that, Matty boy, you know, because you've got a background, obviously, in management and, you know, that kind of thing. And Dave Filoni is on the artistic side. Executive producer, executive creative director.
Mm-hmm.
That, my friends, is exactly where you want him.
Yeah, and they work so well together because they're skilled. It's like yin and yang almost. I'm not like where one's kind of shortfalls are, the other picks up in that area, and they work so well.
Yes, yes. Let's
Who put them together? Who was the president that decided to put them together? By the way,
Kathy saw there was an issue, guys. If you guys don't think that, if you don't think that Kathleen Kennedy is looking back and go, flaming hell, we've had a rocky 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, we've knocked it out the park with stuff, but we've had a rocky 10 years. Like, you're dumb, mate. She knows. She knows. She is well aware. They would have had multiple meetings about it. She would have had to answer to Bob Iger, Bob Chapek, Disney people, and explain all of this stuff. Why, Kathy, is The Rise of Skywalker the only last chapter in a Star Wars trilogy not to make more money than the middle chapter?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it?
Diminishing returns.
She would have had to have answered that. That is straight up business. Like, people don't realize how lethal business is.
Oh,
but
gross.
Let's look again. Kathy's nearly been in this role for 10 years, guys. 10 years. You don't throw someone like that out unless it's really serious, like really, really serious.
Dude, no,
and there's nothing that warrants her to let her go, I don't think.
Well, here's this big boy, because I agree with everything you've just said, and I generally do. The problem is the firings and the hoopla in the background, they've become bigger, or they have more impact than the good stuff, like the hirings, like the budgets and project size of films, people, they're more noticeable when something goes wrong. Here, obviously, so we've had, she's had issues with, or during her tenure, there have been issues with JJ, Colin Trevorrow, Patty Jenkins, Josh Trank, Gareth Edwards, Lorden Miller, and possibly Rian Johnson if his trilogy isn't now going to work. Okay, some names there which are like, okay, that doesn't look good on paper. Solo, 393 million, not very good whatsoever. But now let's flip that. She's put together John Favreau and Dave Filoni. She's introduced Deborah Chow, Bryce Dallas Howard, Rick Famuyiwa to the galaxy, and brought in the quality of Tony Gilroy to patch up Rogue One and give us Andor. We're getting Kenobi, Ahsoka, Lando, The Acolyte, the book of Boba Fett drops in 5 weeks' time, dude. She gave us the Mando, which, as of the minute, has only won 57-plus awards, including Primetime Emmys, SAG Awards, ASC Awards, Art Director Awards, OFTAs, more, $2.66 billion for The Force Awakens, $1.33 billion for The Last Jedi, $1.078 for Tross, $1.05 for Rogue One. Who saw that coming? That is a Hall of Famers resume. I totally understand, however, that all of those directors and those projects which have been shelved or derailed because of creative decisions, that is not good whatsoever. But I think they've overshadowed the monstrous achievements. And because Kathy's name is on The Mandalorian, why? Because she's the one who signed off on it. She's the one who read the pitch, as we mentioned on our off episode. Favreau had to pitch it to her. He didn't just turn up one day and was like, oh, by the way, I'm just making a show. Give us $80 million. He had to persuade her, and she had to see value in it. Same with Andor, Ahsoka, Lando, The Acolyte, The Book of Boba Fett. A droid story as well, don't forget. That's the big one. Clone Wars Season 7, Visions. This all come about because of Kathleen Kennedy.
Again, critically acclaimed.
All of them. And I'm refuse to hear anybody who says, she probably didn't have much to do, and it probably just, didn't really do
that. That's ludicrous.
That's not what happens whatsoever.
Ludicrous.
Her reputation rests on the success of this company. It's taken an absolute pounding because of the awful, awful conjecture behind the scenes, which every single film seems to have had. And I'm getting worn down by it. I mentioned it on one of the other shows last week or two. I'm getting worn down to the point where every single thing's got an issue. It's becoming a laughing stock. Lucasfilm, I have no faith in Lucasfilm when they hire a director. I don't think the Taika film's going to go ahead because Taika's got 5 or 6 massive gigs on the line now.
Oh, it's crazy.
Huge IPs, which he's decided to do. I'm slightly worried about that as well. Apparently Ryan's one has quietly been shelved. Nothing official, so we can't really say much about that one. But, I mean, you've said that for the longest time. But, well, we're not going to get a film for 6 years. I don't mind that in a minute because
the shows are knocking it out of the park.
But it's the idea, though, dude, that these were meant to happen. They were announced. We were getting excited about it. And then the rug gets pulled away or they get quietly shuffled. That's because, like you said, business is cutthroat. But that isn't business. That's a shambles to come out, advertise. Imagine if you're in a business and you're coming out to your investors saying, right, we're going to launch 3 products this year. And only one of them comes out because you had creative issues on 2 of them. They'd haul you out the door because money talks. So it's not unforgivable because that would then mean your position's untenable. But it's not a good look whatsoever for me.
It's not.
The positives outweigh the negs as I've just run through there for me.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm going to add to that and say I think that they know. I think Disney are coming around and they said, what did they say? We're going to have 10 limited series from Marvel, or 10 from Star Wars. Why 10? Yep. Who came up with that?
It's a big commitment.
Well, no, Matt, what, like, why 10? Why 10?
Okay, well, that's the million-dollar question. They couldn't plan 3 films very well. Sorry.
Well, the writing's on the wall, mate. They needed content for their streaming service, and they went, 10's a nice number. Give us, we'll order 10 Star Wars shows, please. Thank you very much.
How many are you doing, 10? We'll get 10 as well, please, son.
Now, Marvel is in a place where they can do that. They use source material, but also it's the nature of that universe. And also, I'm going to say it, for me, the quality is not there all the time with Marvel. It's different. It's way more varied. And guess what? They can get away with it. It's that kind of IP.
But there's Star no issues Wars with is the not, productions.
Star Wars is not Marvel. It is not Marvel. It can't be treated like that. It is completely different. Star Wars... Star Wars is way more akin to Lord of the Rings, a mythology, a deep humanitarian mythology, a fantasy. I'm not adding Marvel here because Marvel has done a fantastic...
He's back.
They've done a fantastic job. Kevin Feige has rocked it, mate. He has done such a fantastic job.
But there's never any issues on... The only issue I can think of is Edgar Wright was boshed off Ant-Man for creative difference. But that's it. That's not to say there aren't any.
Listen, like, you can tell a director on Marvel, here you go, here's some source material, here's a comic. Right, done. Okay, artistically, do what you want, mate. Like, you know, you want to make it funny? Yeah, go on then. You can't do that with Star Wars. It's different. The language, the vernacular, the mythos is different, mate. It's so different. Dare I say, it's a bit more serious. You can't treat it like it's a comic book film. And do you know what? I think people at Disney, not Lucasfilm, Disney, are waking up to that. And they need to wake up to that because you can't treat it like it's going to be a comic book stuff. The most comic booky thing we will receive from Star Wars that's live action is the Book of Boba Fett. And let's see how that goes. I'm well excited for that, mate. It's going to be good fun. It's going to be good crack. But like Solo was kind of that attempt into that Marvel model. Doesn't work.
Yeah, I think the sequel trilogy in itself was, because I think when we had our boy Ahmed Best on, shout out to Ahmed King, and he said it as well. I know other people have said it, but we spoke to Big Boy Best and he said what he thought was missing. And again, I don't necessarily subscribe 100%, but I get the soul of what he's saying, is that the three films that came out of the sequels, for the most part, there was that kind of, it was like cheesy nature that the first six films had. There was, you know, they played it a lot serious, which is a lot more serious, a lot more reverential, which is something which is being labelled at many IPs now, and it really winds me up. But like you say, Star Wars is different in the sense that there is a DNA, like there is with other IPs, but there is a DNA which, if you stray from that, it doesn't feel the same, or it can be, it may not be quite successful. But then also the problem of that is, are you pigeonholing yourself that we can't now try something different for fear of reprisal or fear of having a flop on our hands, where other IPs have got the freedom to do a heist film or a comedy
film? That's why you got stuff like Visions and whatnot. And I know it's not on the same scale. You know, it's not designed to be, but Visions reminds us that there can be new Star Wars that's fresh and
look appealing. At Kenobi and Andor. They're going to be different shows. You know, I think just by looking at the characters and where they are in time, terms of the timeline, and one's called a spy thriller or heist, or spy thriller, sorry, Kenobi, who knows what that's going to be at the minute, but you've got to imagine that they're going to have a slightly different tone. Like you said, Boba Fett is going to be a bit more up and at them. That's going to have a different feel to a Kenobi, to probably Lando as well. You know, Lando, in my head, probably be a bit more quippy, a bit more lighthearted with action thrown in compared to something maybe a bit heavier like Andor. So there is room to move around within the restraints there, my man.
Definitely. I think there is. And I think your Visions went on that kind of sometimes weird side of that. But you can look at something like that and go, yeah, let's apply it to live action. Let's do this, this, and this. You know, we did episodes on that. But having someone like Dave Filoni in this position, guys, I think is such a big deal. It's such a strategic deal, because when you look at it like this, I think you go, do you know what? Let's go with what works. Let's go with what works and what's solid. Hiring the hottest director in town at the time has kind of what they've done with the films, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Game of Thrones, huge. Let's give them a Star Wars trilogy. Let's give them a Star Wars trilogy.
I forgot about them, yeah. Just wham. Yeah.
Taika Waititi, one of the hottest directors in Hollywood. Do you know what? Let's give him a film. Maybe. Let's chill out. And when we're ready, when someone's got a script, when someone's got a solid concept, figure out, oh, guys, by the way, we got a trilogy coming. Whether it's Old Republic, whether it's set in the future, whatever it is, we got a trilogy coming. Dave Filoni's overlooking like the creative aspects of it. They're all going to have different directors to be announced. That's it. TV shows and stuff, I mean, that's golden. For me, that's golden. That's what you want. And who knows? Maybe that's what they're doing. And Matty Boy, just talking, because I weren't here previously in the other weeks for whatever reason. Yeah. I don't know. Never heard of it. Maybe for Disney Plus Day and stuff, yeah. Do you know what? We should avoid having loads of announcements every year, like Marvel. Oh, yeah, we've got this coming. We've got that coming. We've got this. No, let's streamline it. Let's cut the fat and let's just have quality over quantity.
It sounds so simple, my friend. And like you said, it should be easy to be able to sit back and say, right, in behind closed doors, we are going to commission a trilogy. I want you guys to come up with the story. You've got however many months it takes or whatever, or the basics plot line. And you guys, let's start. Once they do that, you start scouting. We'll get some directors on board. Let's vet them, make sure their vision matches ours. And then announce it when you're in production or whatever it is, when you're nailed down. It sounds so very easy, my friend. And had they done that with the sequel trilogy, then there's a chance it may have been better received by the masses. You and I were both big fans of the sequel trilogy for so many reasons. And somebody like me, I've been saying for a while, Patreon questions as well, is, you know, where do we see the characters going next? Are we ever going to see Rey, Finn, Poe? We ain't going to see Kylo again. Sorry, guys. We ain't going to see Ben Solo again. He may come back. He may be back. You never know.
But
I've wanted to know where they're going to be. And moving on to the second part of the...
Well, can I just add one more point?
Destroyed my link, but yes, you can.
Let me just add one more point. While I've got tummy issues, I've got free pass, and I, so do you know what I mean?
Mate, I'll let you off.
He's like, flaming hell, what have I signed up for? He's back. I've had a holiday for 2 weeks. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I'm off. You end the show now.
Yeah, that's it. One more thing as well, right, to keep in mind with all the TV show announcements that obviously happened last year and all the other crazy announcements, Disney Investor Day. That was a reaction to a pandemic. That was, guys, we know, and we don't know how long this thing's going to last. Mm-hmm. We know right now the future's in streaming. Don't worry, we got content coming. Investors, give us some moolah. That's all that was. So now we're kind of easing back into normal. Do not be surprised if there are more like those shows. Like, I'm looking at you, Lando show, man. I'm looking at you and thinking, that ain't going to happen, mate.
Well, it's still
that ain't
going
to happen. As much as I'd like to see it, actually, I don't know.
Well, on that, only one of them has been shelved. And as I mentioned, Rangers was never cancelled. It was just shelved. But they are apparently looking into getting it back off the ground again with a few amendments have been made, to the cast list. So they're looking to get that sorted. So we may see it. And that's the one I was looking forward to. Maybe not the most, but I've said before, something you've got Ahsoka, the Force and the Jedi type thing.
Yep.
You'd have Mando, which is, you know, the Mandem and the Warriors. You're going to have Book of Boba Fett. Again, that's going to be a bit grittier. Then you're going to have Rangers, which is going to be, you know, people in the sky. So you've literally got every part covered there. It would have been great, but we'll get there, my friend. But
we'll get there. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Maybe it was irrelevant. Maybe my head's just got a mental, mate. Well,
you are allowed to, my friend, because like I say, you are the returning king. But I want to see those sequel trilogy characters again, mate. Kathleen Kennedy in Empire. We mentioned Book of Boba Fett on the cover. Kathleen Kennedy was interviewed in the November edition. It's filth-tastic, and we got a little excerpt from her interview, mate. Luke's got a better voice than I have. So, Luke, I'll send it to you. But this was so exciting to read. Only a little bit, but it was so exciting to hear.
Yeah, well, it says, while Obi-Wan Kenobi is springing from the prequel trilogy and Rogue One prequel and or bookends the original trilogy with the post-Return of the Jedi Mandoverse shows, it sounds like there may be more stories to come involving the crew introduced in the most recent sequel trilogy, which wrapped up on the big screen, obviously, with Tross in 2019. Kathleen Kennedy herself says this, "Certainly, those are not characters we're going to forget. teased Kennedy, of that third generation of Star Wars heroes. They live on, and those are conversations that are going on with the creative team as well. The Force is as strong as ever. What a statement as well. That ain't accidental, Matty Boy. The Force is as strong as ever.
Creative
Matty
team.
Boy. Matty Boy, didn't Kathy Kennedy meet up with Daisy Ridley for lunch the other day, like a few weeks ago, like a month ago?
I was looking through the window and I saw, I mean, yes, she did. Sorry, yes, yes, yes. English
Have Rose. You still, I mean, it's only been a few weeks, mate, but we still all team English Rose, yeah? You still?
Bro, forever. For EVA, forever. I'm looking over there, I'm looking to my right, and next to my Sith helmet, I've got the artwork of Daisy Ridley, and I've got my Rey from Jakku doll, basically. So it's there.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah, the one you picked up from Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. And I've got my little shrine going up over there. But yes, but there, what got me there, my friend, was, you know, conversations that are going on with the creative team. I'm sure they've been talking with the creative team since the genesis of the sequel trilogy, since the origin. But it's in these kind of uncertain times where we've just said, is anything planned anymore? They need to sit down and work this stuff out. Just to hear the words that the conversations are going on with the creative team, with the story group or whoever can kind of start to chart out the futures of Rey, Finn, Poe, everybody else within those films, hopefully Rose Tico. That's exciting to know that. She didn't just say, oh, no, we haven't forgotten about them. You're going to hear from them one day. Don't worry about that. And she said, you know, we're not going to forget them. They will live on. And the creative team is dealing with it as we speak. So there are plans in place. Who knows what kind of plans they will be, whether it's live action, animated, whatever. But it's just nice to know that with all of the, like the article says, of all of the kind of OT-centric stuff we're getting, or end of the prequels OT-centric stuff we're getting, that we are going to be getting stuff centered around the sequel trilogy characters, because you said it as well. You know, maybe they wanted to step back from the sequels, not because they don't like them, but, you know, let's let them breathe. Let's let the world absorb and marinate those films. And then we can go back to it in a couple of years' time. And maybe, to be fair, the creative team, Kathleen Kennedy, everybody's, maybe they needed a break. Maybe they needed to step back from those characters in order to appreciate them and then get back in. I imagine after seven, 8 years marinating with these stories, that's that word again, you probably got a bit of burnout. You spend most of your days thinking about these films, these characters, these stories. You probably, like anyone, you need a break. We'll go back to that in a few years' time and see where we're going to go from here. But that, my friend, excited me more than anything, because I love the sequel trilogy era. I do think it was poorly developed in terms of the world building. I think there's so much more that they can do in that era, and they can also use these Mandoverse shows, as we think they are, to start bashing these bad boys out. And the Bad Batch, we didn't mention that. Kathy gave us a Bad Batch, but they can start using these shows now to start sowing the seeds for what happened in the sequels, to, you know, to bolster them up even more, like the prequels were of the Clone Wars, like the OT has been with Rogue One, with Mando. Retroactively makes things even better, mate. So,
definitely,
I'm here for this. I'm here for it.
And guess what? She said creative team. Creative team. Who is the highest ranking creative at Lucasfilm? Dave Filoni.
He's got his new job.
Executive creative director. Boom. There we go. I'm telling you guys, around this time last year, I was going, Luke Skywalker's going to turn up in The Mandalorian. I'm telling you, mate. I'm flipping. I can see it through. You were right. Lucasfilm has had a reshuffle quietly. They have had a quiet reshuffle. They know. They know it's embarrassing. A lot of that, I think, is Disney pushing stuff. And again, I think it's a tug of war sometimes, but I think we're learning. It's always a learning process. At the end of the day, this is a company that needs to report how much money they're making.
Yep.
They need shareholders. They need investment. Otherwise, all this goes kaput.
Yep.
It's crazy how many companies didn't go kaput with COVID, call a spade, these studios.
Thankfully.
Like, honestly, lads, like...
We can romanticize it and be like, oh, let's all wear Mickey Mouse's and play with our toy lightsabers, because that's how we see it. The people working for that at the board and at the top, they just think, yeah, let's push those out so those idiots can buy them and we'll keep this company afloat. It's all about the dollar, bro.
And this is just going back to like what you're saying, right? Dollar aside, because we know it's all about the dollar, dollar.
I'm a spend dollar, 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 dollar.
You know,
I'm going to crush her like my what girl? What girl? Bring me the girl.
What girl? Mate, sequel trilogy, you know, love it or hate it, it's here to stay. It's canon. And there is a lot to love in the sequels. There is so much to love in the sequels. When I was in hospital, mate, I watched the... I've not actually finished it yet, but I watched The Last Jedi with Ryan's commentary. Yeah. I texted you, actually.
You did.
While I was watching it. And it was so enjoyable. It's great getting a different perspective on things. Yeah. Are there things that I disagree with still? Like in the... commentary, Ryan says, you know, he's like, oh yeah, Hux, you know, I always thought he was a funny guy. I was like, is he? You know, yeah. When I got home last week, I was able to put on a Star Wars film with the missus, and I put on The Force Awakens because it's just such a feel-good
film.
That
blanket.
That film, man, hits different. The Force Awakens hits different. That's a special film.
I text Luke back to the first third of that film, not just because of the rose, but the introduction to the film. But when we first see Rey and what she's doing, when her theme plays for the first time, she's going down that hill on the sand, or like sledding down the hill, meeting Finn and Poe, and that scene which you love so much when they're, you know, FN2187. I ain't calling you that. Call you Finn. Yeah, and the whole magic. Jakku stuff. It's just
magic.
Damn, we're back, man. And the rest of it's magical. Great as well, of course, but
yeah, just,
man,
there's so much to love, man. But even even with that, like, it's a universe, you know, let's do it. And there's a lot to tell here. There's a lot of political, there's a lot of military explanation here that they're going to go down. They've already started going down. And, you know, we got flipping Snokes or Palpatines in tubes in The Mandalorian.
Yes. Right?
I mean, come on, they're doing it. They're aware. They know. Mm-hmm. What is the goal? What is my ideal end to the Mandoverse, Mandalorian, whatever you want to call it? It is Grogu being dropped off with a new Jedi Order, Rey, Finn. Imagine that, bro.
Can you imagine seeing Boyega and Ridley back on the screen together
in their
garbs, mate?
I'd cry. Oh,
honestly.
I ain't just the steroids I'm on at the moment, mate.
No, it's everyone's allowed to let their emotions out. No, I think it's great because you'll hear the cries of, well, they're just doing this to try and save that dumpster fire trilogy or whatever it is people complain about. But
you
mentioned the prequels. We love them, but by God damn, they need a lot of pillaring from the Clone Wars. Had to hold those things up completely.
They do.
But some
of it is just craziness. The prequels, but we took it for granted. And this is the thing with the internet age, with the announcements, with the news on the directors, all this kind of thing is amplified by the internet and social media and opinion pieces. So, I don't know. We love it, don't we? We love it.
If one thing Kennedy has given us, it's years and years worth of things to talk about, but not just because of the conduct in the boardroom, everything we've mentioned, all the shows, all the films, all the new characters, all the tie-ins, all the books, all the comics, the High Republic, I didn't even mention that, the High Republic, people are digging the High Republic. Everything has been signed off by the hand and the pen of Kathleen Kennedy. She hadn't just given us a load of headaches. Everything, pretty much the majority of the stuff we've spoken about in the sessions has had some kind of form of Kathleen Kennedy's influence on it, right? Other than the straight up PT and OT episodes. Kathleen Kennedy's legacy will be far reaching by the time she does depart, whether that's 2024 or she signs another extension. But when she leaves, we'll better look back at that and think, holy damn, look at everything we've got. Look at it, my friend.
This is a repeat of her re-signing her contract in 2018. It was for a three-year period or whatever. Yeah, three-year period.
That's it, mate.
And it expired 31st of October 2021. Yeah. So, you know, again, if this goes well, because you can't develop a trilogy in 3 years, or you can do the foundations for it, but I think this is very much for the long term. Unless something drastic happens, kind of tying it back to that original point that we made at the start of the main show, unless something really crazy happens, you know, she's here to stay. And I think with what they've learnt, with the people they've put in place, I think it could be very good news. There are things that need to be worked on, and there still needs to be the relationship. It needs to be strengthened. There needs to be better communication between, at the end of the day, Disney and Lucasfilm.
Yeah, results speak for themselves, mate. Stability, yeah. Much needed. All the shows, all the films, everything we've got and we're getting. Star Wars isn't exactly in a bad place, mate. There have been flaws, there have been bumps along the roads, and there have been times when we've both bashed our heads against a wall and we've sat and had a coffee or a pint and be like, how can this happen? How can we have another director, whatever it might be? But I take that and I absorb it into the entirety of the Kennedy verse, and everything we've got out of it far outweighs that. Yes, it's tragic to see people lose their jobs. It's not great, or to see projects fall by the wayside, but it's not like we've been suffering. And as I said on the last episode, yep, with Dunn and Sean, next year, my mate, Andor, Kenobi, Book of Boba Fett, Bad Batch again, possibly Mando. We're gonna be dining out well next year, my friend. So,
well, if anything, let's see how it goes. Right, we're in for a ride, and you guys better be ready because there is a lot of stuff coming, and I don't think people are ready for the amount of absolute filth.
No, this is
that's going to be a lot. The spice, you lads, you're all going to flipping get crones like me, just from the amount of spice that's coming. So anyway, I don't mean to make light of it. Well, I do actually, but
you can
go. I can, Matty Boy. Do you know what, mate? It's good to be back.
Hi, this is Misty Roses. I am the performance artist for Queel and Frog Lady in The Mandalorian, and you are listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, it's also good to be back here outside our favourite dusty drinking hole. 2 weeks ago, I had to come here by myself, and I tell you, I almost lost a limb because they saw me in the corner and thought I was an easy target. Last week, they saw Big Boy Dunn and Sean, and I thought, I ain't going near those beefcakes. But now I've got the ultimate man back, and also, I don't have to open this heavy door anymore. Luke, the only question is, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yes, he is back. He is back. And so are we, and so are you. For those who are new to the show or old, each week we sit down with you guys, the greatest listeners in the galaxy. We have a couple of Kef beers, and we get your thoughts on our main discussion. So this week, we ask for your opinions on the news of Kathleen's contract extension.
Yes, we got some great answers, and actually, mostly positive. We ran some polls on Instagram and Twitter, and they were pretty much all majority Kathleen Kennedy, which, mm-hmm, I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting. Were you expecting that?
Not at all. I expect it to be a lot closer or worse, and to be a lot more flammable than maybe it was. But for the most part, people put their points across, which we always encourage. So, say what you want, by all means. But for the most part, people, if they were negative, here's why. Not just, don't like her. Okay, people were saying, giving us a reason for their negativity, which,
on both sides.
Opinions are opinions.
Yeah, on both sides, mm-hmm, I felt like that. And it was nice to see, you know, that for the most part, people were pretty civilized about it. It was so uncivilized. No, people were pretty civilized about it. Just worth noting, Matty Boy, we ran these polls. 62% said yes on Instagram. They were happy with it. 38% said no. Twitter was slightly different. 72% said it's good news, and 28% said it was bad news.
That's,
and it's probably
news,
worth noting that, if anything, I'm quite proud of that, those results, because they're quite mixed. They're mostly positive, but quite mixed. And it kind of reflects our listenership, our community. You know, we're not just all one horde of thinking, right? We're quite a mix, but
yes,
you know, so that's nice to see too.
Yeah, which is what we want. You know, it isn't fun for me or Luke to talk about it if it's all one way traffic, and it's not very fun to listen to either. And I'll be the first to admit, I've listened to shows where it's one way or the other, and I think, oh, I'm bored now. There's only so much you can take off the same opinion. Shake it up a little bit. We've just spoke about Kathleen Kennedy. We weren't eulogising. We were also pointing out the fact that actually some of this is not great whatsoever. Some of this is quite frankly awful. So,
yeah,
you know, we like to think we have some sort of balance.
My boy, Matty Boy, taking no prisoners, mate. Taking no prisoners. No. Jamie Richards said this. I'm happy with this. On Kathy's watch, Lucasfilm has delivered my absolute favourite Star Wars film, and I can't wait for Andor. That's it. That's going to be true of a lot of people. A lot of people. Mm-hmm. Gav Backer said, it's a thankless task, really, isn't it? Some folks forget that you don't have to like every aspect of the franchise, nor is everything within it written with them in mind. Regarding Kathleen Kennedy, I would have liked to see someone else in the seat for a fresh vision, but don't have anyone particular in mind. That's it, mate. That's it. I can't think of anyone. No, really?
He's a filth bag, Gav is, but he's right. Unless there's somebody we've never heard of, like in previous times, who could just come in, do the job, and then install a face of the company to do the public work, then I don't know. Everyone says, get rid of her, but who's going to take over with the right credentials that isn't Kevin Feige?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, Galaxy Full of Cosplays said whoever negotiated that contract for her needs to be doing world peace deals because they can clearly make anyone believe anything is good.
See that? There you go. There's your objective. You've got to love it.
Yeah, man. You've got to love it. good job.
A galaxy full of good job. Thank you for that. Moving on, we've got Jay Wazen 73 said, right, I think realistically the mistakes of swapping directors and not having a plan for the sequels is unforgivable because it was so obviously a mistake. Seriously, who thought that would have been okay to run 30% of the Star Wars movies without coherency? Mm-hmm. Regardless, she seems to have learned from this easily foreseeable mistake, and we're now getting a golden era of Star Wars shows and interesting lore. And hell, Mandalorian made me interested in the sequels again after they created a new universe filled with nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm wary, though, that as a Disney exec, she's either going to be told or to get bonuses to keep sticking to this formula beyond its reasonable lifespan, and we're going to get formulaic shows like Mando without any of the interesting characters or plot lines that make that the excellent show that it is, i.e. the sequel trilogy. So I wanted to chuck that one in because old Jay Wazen 73 there, they're kind of seeing both sides of the story there. And I see what we're saying about the end. Will the execs at the top think, well, let's just keep churning this out because it makes money and people like it, and the soul and essence will be lost? I certainly hope not. But like you said, easily foreseeable mistakes seem to hopefully now be picked up on and eradicated. So nice one for that, Jay. Anything on that one, Lukey boy?
No, I think that's a great comment. It's a really good comment, and it's something worth bearing in mind. And again, I like that Jay, our boy Jay, is leaning into that Disney thing because I think Disney has a lot more to do with this than we realize. Nope. You know?
Good shout. Good shout. No, yeah. Nice one, Jay, you big filth bag. And speaking of filth bags, the man who puts the king in Woking has sent us a voice message, Alex Jessup. Let's hear this one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
I think Kathleen Kennedy signing on with Lucasfilm is a good move. She's a top, top producer. She's been a producer on films like Jurassic Park, E.T., the Indiana Jones films. She's produced 5 of the 50 highest grossing films of all time. She's been an integral part of the new Star Wars era under Disney. So I think, yeah, bring it on. I can't wait for what she's going to do next for us.
Yeah, I think Jessup's a fan of her, and you list off those achievements, and she certainly had a great career. Of course, not being a good producer doesn't always translate to good precedent, but I think 75% of what she's done has been like the choices she's made have been fabulous. 80%.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It's great to hear from Jessup. You know, I'm glad it doesn't sound like he's punching anyone in that voice message. So, you know, all happy, mate.
That's it. I'm with you on that one, mate. I'm with you.
And to wrap up this section of the Buddabut Bantina is Sir Cabbage, a.k.a. James Blind, a.k.a. my brother, Absolute Doll. He says about Kathleen Kennedy, yeah, she was really good in the Goldbergs. So there we go. Take whatever you want from that.
Brother Bly coming in hot as per usual. What a way to round off this part. I always say that this part of the Bantina. Thank you everyone for sending in your comments. If you want to see what everybody else said, go hit up our socials. We'll give all those filthy handles at the end. And if you didn't hear yourself this week, please don't be disheartened, don't be discouraged. There's always room for you guys here in the Bantina. Please keep sending in your messages, your voice messages, and we'll do everything we can to get them on a future instalment of the Bantina.
For extra content, go to patreon.com/StarWarsSessions. You know it's going to be so good.
Best podcast. Best podcast.
That's right, mate. I was grooving and throwing shapes to that. Oh, mate, it's good to be back. Yes, it is the spiciest part of the Bantina. It's the Patreon question section. And to kick us off is our boy, Sean Hudson. Mayboy, are you ready for this jelly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So Sean asks this. I love Ahsoka. I've never made it a secret that Ahsoka is my favorite Star Wars character thus far. And for me, she has had the most character development across all platforms than anyone else. I'm more excited for the Ahsoka series than a trip to the Twi'lek healing baths, but I'm worried. I said when Tross came out, it needs to be a 3-hour-plus film to fit everything in. We know how that went. Ahsoka is a limited series, and to my mind, they need to fit everything in for casual viewers of who she is and who and her history. Thrawn and Ezra, which is huge in itself. Hayden, which is huge, as discussed last week on the show. Luke will turn up for continuity post-Mando, but that also means Grogu. I'm scared. It's too much to cram into, what, 8 episodes? Make me feel better, please. Peace out, and may the source be with you always. So good.
So good.
Thank you, Shuri. We didn't get one of those in the show yet, so that's nice.
One now.
Yeah. A big Ahsoka question there, mate boy. What are you thinking, Brother Hud?
Well, I'm thinking the same back to Brother Hud. What are you thinking? The Twi'lek healing baths is the place to be. Come on. Come on. For this one, so basically, in a nutshell, will there be enough time or story in Ahsoka to be able to tell all the threads which we think might happen? Well, Filoni is dealing with it, obviously, and Favreau. So, and again, they've shown that they can fit in plenty of story, exposition, lore within 8 episodes. They've done that in the Mando. Season 1 and Season 2. With Ahsoka, I think they can, like similar to how they did with Mando with his flashbacks to his childhood, they can tell the story of Ahsoka through the narrative. And by that, I mean they don't have to have an episode dedicated to, here's my backstory. It's just little nods here and there. All they've got to do in the first episode is a quick mention in the Clone Wars, my master Anakin Skywalker, or, you know, a bit more than that, but it could just be a line, or it could be a couple of minutes, or we could have that flashback scene for a few minutes, like we had again in the beginning of Mando Season 2 when Cobb Vanth was talking about how he got Boba's armor. Yeah, a couple of 30-40 seconds. You don't need to have a huge flashback as fans. Wouldn't it be great to see the Clone Wars in live action? As a critical thinker, no, it wouldn't, because I don't want it to derail the flow of the show. But so, in that, I think they can handle Ahsoka's backstory relatively well within the confines of the show. Thrawn and Ezra, that in itself now is bigger, because in order to get people on board with, well, we need to find Thrawn and we need to save Ezra, you do have to devote more time, I think, to them, if anything, because we've met Ahsoka in the Mando, and casual fans of Star Wars probably heard of her. They may have heard of Thrawn and Ahsoka, more so Thrawn, of course, from the Zahn trilogy, but you've got to set up why it's important to get these guys. Why is it so important to find them? You know, why is Ahsoka need to find this blue geezer and this Aladdin fella? So that's going to be bigger, I think, and that's going to be more problematic. However, if they are going to be dealing with that in the other shows, possibly, you can maybe, like they do in crossovers, put a bit of exposition onto one of the other shows, and then it doesn't take up quite as much as your own. Hayden, I think, will be in it fairly briefly. He's not going to have a recurring role. I think we are going to get like a Force Ghost Hayden, a conversation. I don't see the need for him to be in any more than one episode. And if Luke's in that same episode, great. Grogu doesn't even need to do anything. Grogu could just be there, like on Luke's shoulder, or mm-hmm. a frog in the background. Mm-hmm. I think Hayden and Luke can be in the same episode if they're going to go that route. and Thrawn and Ezra, they're going to need the most.
Go that route. Up.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been listening to too many American shows, and I
you do. I love them. What? Mate, boy, uses so many Americanism.
Oh no, I'm sorry, guys. I've lost touch with my roots. I'm going to have a kip. But no, yeah, I think so. Grogu,
have a kip. Have a kip, mate.
I will do.
Have a bath filled with baked beans.
Up the wooden hills to Bedfordshire. Hayden, Luke and Grogu can all appear in one episode. They don't have to be the episode. They can be the last 10 minutes for all I think. Ahsoka, you can deal with her backstory fairly easily, I think. I think especially with Filoni and Favreau on board, I think they're going to be able to find a way to not stretch this thing out. Thrawn and Ezra, though, my man, that's going to be the bigger issue. How do we make people care about Ezra? How do we make them care about this blue-skinned guy with red eyes? How do we make them care about the stakes of this whole thing?
Oh,
there's that. So that is the bit. It doesn't worry me, but I think that needs the most. Ahsoka, we can deal with her like we did Din Djarin. We found out more about him as the thing went on. So it's Thrawn and Ezra for me. That's the thing I think is going to take the most time, and that's what I have the most. I'm the most apprehensive about in terms of how are they going to sell this in, you know, 8 episodes, because you haven't got 8 episodes to tell their story. You've got half an episode to get us invested in them, and then the rest of the season to get us, you know, to get us behind the search. You don't want to be finding out more and more about them as we approach episode 6 and 7. Otherwise, by the time we get to the end, you'd be like, well, I still don't really know who these guys are. So that's the big one for me. But I am very excited for Hayden, Luke and Grogu. Yeah, certainly Hayden's going to be there. So what about you though, Lukey boy? Can you do anything to temper Brother Hudson's fears?
I pretty much echo what you said. I don't want to say the same thing again necessarily, but I'll add to it. And I'll say that, you know, even in Mando season 2, we got Cobb Vanth, right? We know all about him getting a Black Series figure. Looks sick. Bit late, but here we go. Bo-Katan with some other Mandos. You know, we got Boba Fett back. We got Ahsoka. We got Luke at the end. They all served a purpose. And that's not even mentioning the season 1 characters. They all served a purpose. The seeds were there and they all did a job. And in my head, I don't see this as an issue. In fact, I just think I look at this and go, well, you got Thrawn, Ezra. And yeah, 8 episodes. Sounds chill in my head. In my head, it's like, yeah, that's plenty of time, isn't it? Like, and just because Luke it might appear in it, we don't know. Like, he might not. If he has Grogu and he's just like there, okay, cool, right? I don't know. Like we've used in the show already, this expression of Mandoverse. It's a Mandoverse. So if we see people, whatever. If the writing's good, it's gonna be great. It's going to be fantastic. And I do think they're going to lean on, well, we don't need to explain everything about Ahsoka because she's from the animated world. And rest assured, Dave Filoni's involved in this series. And, you know, he's heading it up with John. And so, therefore, he's going to be treating the animated world with respect.
Yeah.
So there's that too. So I personally, mate, I wouldn't worry. I think it's going to be sick. We're going to get some absolute filth, mate. We're going to have to really look at our diets after Ahsoka and think, look, are my veins getting a bit too clotted up with all the filth that I'm consuming? Probably.
Fat from the filth is what I'm going to be. I've just gone back to the gym, so I mean, I've got a year to get rid of some of this puppy fat before the cholesterol take a pound in because of seeing Hayden and Ahsoka and Luke together. Anakin and Luke don't need any backstory. That's fine. My last point on this, though, is they're never going to do it. They kind of did with Solo, to be fair, though, is that in an ideal world for me, they wouldn't bother with exposition. They'd just be like, well, there's 7 seasons of the Clone Wars, go and watch them.
Right. I mean, this is Dave Filoni. This is Filoni doing this, so I don't know. I don't think he got much to be worried about, mate. I really don't, especially with what we were saying earlier with Dave being in that creative position. He is the creative head honcho, you know, that's where you want him. So
that's it, mate.
There we go, mate.
Star Wars. He wants Kathleen might know business and production. Dave gets Star Wars. He's the man you want heading that up. So thank you for that, Shawnee Boy. Anybody who wants to chime in on that, we'd love to hear your thoughts on how they're going to fit all of this filth into the Ahsoka series. Let us know your thoughts on that one. And let us know your thoughts on this question from the Belgian Bond, Vadim Simmons. He said, "Hi, Broby One and Broba Fett. With the High Republic going on and the Old Republic coming up, do you think they'll ever mention the prophecy of the Chosen One and maybe go a little deeper into it? Or a mention of the Dyad and other myths? That would be awesome. Stay spicy." Lukey Boy, Chosen One, Dyad, any other new myths do you reckon High or Old Republic will touch upon?
I think it'd be quite interesting to see maybe the prophecy or at least something alluded to it in the High Republic or Old Republic in some way. It's always a funny one, prophecy, and I like that we've not got the actual text of said prophecy, but have we?
Yeah.
We have.
It's in
we have.
In Masters of a Master and Apprentice.
Yeah, but that's not canon.
Yes, it is.
Well, okay, it's kind of canon.
But it's canon.
But until Mayboy, they do Old Republic or High Republic, and they're like, we need to look at this prophecy thing. They'll change it around a little bit, probably. Right? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they'll use that exact one.
Yeah, man. Well, hopefully.
Well, it's there,
and it's pointless to change things. You know my thoughts on that.
Yeah, true.
They've done it already. They did it in Bad Batch.
Sometimes it counts. I'll crush you like a bug.
Don't you dare change my additions. McClunky, that'll be the last one. That'll be the last thing.
Even that geezer changed his own stuff, so canon's gone.
Exactly. Exactly. It's neither here nor there. I think, actually, it'd be wise to avoid it. I do think it would be worth mentioning maybe other myths and dyads, because that's a good... It could be a really cool way of storytelling. Again, dyads kind of been done now, and it's done very, very well. So that's, again, credit to the sequels for that. But I don't know. It's a bit of a funny question. I think the prophecy of the Chosen One is also misinterpreted a little bit, but I don't want to go into, because this could be a whole episode in itself. In fact, I think we have it written down somewhere to look into the prophecy of the Chosen One and do an episode on it one day. So, spoiler. Yeah, so maybe we should save some thoughts for that. But I wouldn't be surprised if it at least gets a mention in passing or something like that. But I don't think they're going to deep dive.
Matty
Boy, help me out. My brain's like starting to shut down
dive.
Now.
Dive deep. Deep dive.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going, no, Luke.
Enough.
Yeah, I know. And also that's to do with the Skywalker saga. So, right, it's slightly different. So if you don't want it to distract too much of that. That's my answer. Matty Boy, take the mic away.
Just quickly to build on that then. Yep, I can't remember how, you know, the context of the prophecy from Master and Apprentice. I can't remember if it was how it came about or, you know, why they mentioned it. So I may be stepping on my own toes here, but it would be great if they mentioned it in passing. Like there was kind of whispers of a prophecy in the Old Republic that one day, and that's thousands of years before, or kind of ideas that they've had people who they thought were the Chosen One before and it all went to pot. You know, that's those kind of things. Doesn't have to be a film episode or anything, but that's what Star Wars does best, is it throws these bombs out there and just leaves them. Like, oh, the prophecy of Blylo Ren in the Old Republic, who we thought was a chosen one, but turned out to just be a potato farmer or something. I think the Dyad, I think, again, like Palpatine said, haven't seen these in generations. There's scope to mention it, but it's funny because, like you said, they did it so... The idea of it is so interesting. I love the idea of a Dyad, you know, two people connected through the Force in that way. I think it's wonderful. I wouldn't want them to overdo it, though, because I think the fact that Rey and Kylo have it, it's unique to them. It may not have been seen in generations, but we don't know to what extent. Was the last one as big as Kylo and Rey's, or was it just on a smaller level? I'd like to think that they were kind of like the zenith of the Dyad. You know, everything before that had been, you know, they could commune via the Force or see each other's surroundings or whatever, but they couldn't, you know, pass objects or feel each other like they did. So I'd like to think that they kind of mastered that technique. So I wouldn't like that to be taken away. I'd like them to mention it. You know, like, I'd love them to hear like whispers of a prophecy, like rumours of a prophecy. Maybe don't go into it too much, because like, I think you're stepping into funny ground if you start going into that kind of realm in Star Wars, because I think it was fairly McClunkily handled in the prequels, to be fair, and they have tried to retroactively make it make sense. But so I think maybe if we like whispers that one day the Chosen One will come and bring balance, but no more than that. And as for a dyad, again, maybe people have exhibited that sort of telekinetic power with each other, or more so than that. But I think mention it, but I don't want it to. I wouldn't want it to be more powerful than the one we saw in Tross, because then all they're doing and is then just, you know, dampening the fire of that. That one was great in Tross, but here's an even better one that happened 1,000 years ago, which then makes that one in Tross look a bit, you know, sad in comparison. So I wouldn't want anything to take away from that moment or that revelation. So they can do it. I hope they mention it, or they do it. Hey, if they do show it, then make it
poo-do.
If they poo do it, then just don't have it. Just have it be less impactful than the dyad in Tross. But then the question is, why bother? It's not going to be impactful. So yeah, mention it, but don't go too much into it. Like you said, Lukey boy, let's have some new myths or lore dumps. Let's have some new stuff. Like the dyad was great. Let's have something akin to a dyad from the Old Republic or in the High Republic. Something we could be like, that is filth. And because it never happens, it's even more special. That's my thought.
Lore dump, mate. Well, that's what I took away from that.
A big lore dump. Might give us one of those, Cappy.
A big lore dump. What great questions, though, man. This has been a great week for all the socials and stuff. Yeah, so man, thank you so much for sending those in. Vadim and Sean, you bunch of sickheads.
Yes, thank you. Give us your answers to all of those, everybody. However, Barman, sorry about the mess one more time, but don't worry about that, guys. We'll be back again for a couple more Kef beers here in the Bantina next week.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Star Wars Sessions game!
Oh, it feels good to be back doing a game. So, Luke, do you want to know what game you're playing?
Of course I do, Matty boy. Of course I do. Come on, bring it on.
Well, context, if you're new to the show, we always end with a Star Wars theme game. We alternate weekly with the hosts. This week it's my turn. Luke has been absent for a few weeks. And this time I wanted to honour him, because I know that he's based out. He's high as a kite at the minute. So yeah. I wanted to honour the return of the Jedi with a Return of the Jedi quiz, which I think we might have done before. However, I couldn't do Return of the King, because that's an altogether different franchise. So Return of the Jedi quiz. I've got about 5 questions to ask you here, mate, because I don't want to keep you too long, because I don't want your mind to go off into strange places. So are you ready for your Return of the Jedi questions, which you're going to ace easily?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Woof, right. Question one. What is the number of the first Imperial shuttle seen in the movie?
Oh, are you joking?
Welcome back.
Are you winding me up?
Nope. What's the number of the first Imperial shuttle? You can hear the number of the shuttle as well. They say it as well.
Zero?
Is that your final answer?
Three. No, six. Six.
You're going to go for six, are you?
Yeah, I'll go for six.
Okay. Well, the answer is ST321.
Right. What was the question again? What was the first number?
What is the number of the first Imperial shuttle seen in the movie?
Oh, I wish.
Shuttle 6, come in.
My man. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm starting to get a bit wavy. I had literally my last, like, yeah, don't worry. Before the show, I had some drugs, and I'm like, I think it's starting to kick in. Don't worry. Yes, yeah, Shuttle 6, come in.
Before the dark times. Before the
sessions. Sorry, right, go on. Next one.
Okay. Complete the sentence, or complete the phrase or line by Princess Leia. Princess Leia said, "You are free of the..." You are free of the... what?
What? Who said this? Leia?
Princess Leia. She said, you are free of the...
You are free of the... I don't even know when she's saying that. You are free of the Galactic Empire. I don't know, man. Yes. When does she say... I'm going to pass, bro. I'm going to pass. This is painful.
Big passing.
Yeah.
Right. She says, you are free of the Carbonites.
Oh, yeah. No, she says that in Tatooine, in Big Boy Jabba's Palace, didn't she?
In Return of the Jedi. Not Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's a cheeky one.
In Jabba's Palace, yeah. Which is not going to be called that anymore, surely. Next one.
No.
What were the first two words spoken in Return of the Jedi? I just wanted to make it easy for you, mate.
This is one of those that I think I would get if I was fully compus mentis. If I was fully there. I'm sure it's one of the droids. Isn't it? Is it? Give us a clue.
No, it's not a droid.
Oh.
That language.
Okay, let me think. Who is it? Who could it be?
It's a human person.
Who is it? It's a what?
It's a human person. What were the first two words spoken in Return of the Jedi?
I can't even remember what the opening scene is, Matt. Like I said, I know this usually, I think. I think by now I'd be able to, like, do process of eliminate. My mind's just thinking of, like, my mind at the moment is it's just
all part of your recuperation, mate. It's just getting your brain ticking again, so I'm just trying to help
this. Is I don't know. Is it the Imperials?
Isn't it Imperial? From that, you're not a million miles away.
Put me out of my misery, Matt.
The first two words are command station.
The first
line is command station. This is ST321 code clearance blue.
Oh my days, he tied it in with the.
This is 6 clearance blue.
That's very good, mate. And do you know what? Actually, I'm not even sure if I would have got that.
I would never have got that at all.
No, I don't think I would have got that.
I'm not very good with opening lines, so.
I'm not good at this stuff, full stop.
Oh no, you'll get this one. And I think you will, actually. So just throw this one in, just for the confidence. How old is Yoda when he finally succumbs to the Force?
Like 630? No, he's 900.
Final answer?
I get my sixes and nines mixed up, you know.
Ooh, so we're going to get you going 900?
Even when I'm normal. Quote, unquote, it's such normal.
We're going to 900?
Yeah, No, 600 sounds better. I don't know why. Or is it? Hang on. Yeah, it's around 600. Let's do that.
When 900 years old you are, look as good. You were not.
Oh.
It was 900.
900.
When 900 year olds you reach, look as good you were not.
What did I say? Why didn't you tell me, listeners? Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, I'm not going to give you that one. That one's too. That one is going to be hard, so I won't give you that one. You've got two more then. Last one, second to last one. What is the name of the droid that assigned the jobs for people in Jabba's palace?
Torture droid.
No. Well, actually, I don't even know that's his nickname, but the torture one that gave droid. 3PO and R2-D2 stuff to do.
I know the one you're flipping talking about, because I was going to pick up his flipping Power of the Force the other day.
You were.
They are called... what are they called? Yeah, I'm sure that I was going to pick up a Power of the Force, one of these bad boys. But I thought it was just called, like, Torture Droid or it's not an Interrogation Droid, is it? Because that's the floaty bad boy.
Yeah, it's not
in
one
of those.
In A New Hope. Yeah, it's not one of those.
Floaty bad boy. Yeah, I think it's something to do with evil.
You're on the right track.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember this, but it's something, you know how in some of the droids they use like EV1L, something like that. But I know it's not that, but it's something I think along those lines, I think.
It is. You want to know?
Yeah, go on.
EV9D9. Hmm.
9D9. Yeah, I wouldn't have got the 9D9, I don't think. But
Supervisor droid, they're called, I think.
Torch droid, mate.
Torture joy to do. Right. You ready for this one? You will get this one, I'm sure.
Okay. Oh, Matt, come on.
Right, come on, my friend. What is the name of the singer at Jabba's palace?
Snai Sootles. Snai.
Almost. Just flip a few letters around.
Snai.
No, not Snai.
Stai.
No.
Sly. Sly Snootles. Sly.
No.
Shy Snootles.
What is that noise?
What?
The man
sighs. Sigh Snootles.
Yes! Bly Snootles. Yes.
Oh, mate. You flipping like, I'm like an old pensioner going across the, like, a zebra crossing down Abbey Road. And you're like, come on, mate.
I'll get you there, mate. I had other ones which were actually harder, which I was rubbing my hands out. I thought, no, I can't give you that. What did Jabba and the Bounty Hunter settle the bounty for Chewbacca?
Not today. Not today.
Just ones like
not
that,
today.
Well, you got 1 out of 5, which is, by my maths, 20%, which isn't too bad, my man. It's we got one on the board, mate. You got one on the board.
Could I be Kathleen? Could I be president of Lucasfilm now?
Maybe one every five being a hit. As long as it makes money, you're fine.
As long as it makes money. Wow. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. Good job.
Good job.
Good job. So, well done, matey boy.
Well done. Good job. I'm trying to get the brains working again. Not that I ever went anywhere, but it's me making out like you just lost your faculties. But my man.
Oh, no, I did.
I'm very glad to have you back. The sessions, sick heads, are all very glad to have you back here mining the spice, farming the filth. What? Don't worry about the result of the game. In 2 weeks' time, when it's my turn again, you'll smash it out of the park. I have no doubt about that.
Absolutely, mate. It's been good to be back. It's been really nice to be back. So thanks for all the messages again, and thanks for bearing with me.
Thanks for bearing with him. Thanks for it.
I can't even express like how excited I was to do this. This was like a goalpost. I was like, look, I need to do this. I need to do this again. Like, and it goes through. I adore doing this. So it was nice to come back and obviously get the show going, mate. And you know, we got some busy weeks ahead, and we got Boba coming out. Right. Man, we got a lot of filth to cover.
Mate, those Boba weeks are gonna be the epitome of filth. So cannot wait. However, I am very sad to say that is for this episode of Star Wars Sessions 139. But the fun doesn't end there. No one's ever really gone because he's back. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
They can find us at starwarssessions.co.uk. Search for us on social media. Just search Star Wars Sessions and we will be there. So I'm getting there.
You did it.
Email address. Send us an email. Hello there at starwarssessions.co.uk. That'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
That'll do, pig. That'll do. Don't call me that. We're on Anchor FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, every podcast provider in the galaxy. You're going to find us there. If you love our show, please consider leaving us a good review on your platform of choice and head on over to podchaser.com. It's the IMDb for podcasts. It's awesome. We're there. So 5 stars there and everywhere else you can find your podcasts. Would do the show a massive solid. It gets more listeners in, means we get more engagement with you guys, which is what we live and breathe for every week.
And please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cats, tell your Ewok. Tell anyone who works at Lucasfilm. I'm sure there's a couple of them that listen to us. Maybe one or two. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Tell your cousin, the more the merrier, the Kessel Spice. Yeah.
Yes. Tell Sly Sootles that this is the podcast you're looking for. But until next time, from me, see ya. And from Luke,
may the Force be with you always. Yeah. I can't believe I struggled with the Sly Snooze thing. Mate. Here we go. It was a good one.
Luke.
Another happy landing.
Essex-based podcast heroes.
the audience is so smart. And it's true. They are. They get everything.
Tell that to Kanja Club.